This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Assessing the damage. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, July 8th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
After two powerful earthquakes in Southern California, officials are examining the extent of damage as residents brace for more damaging aftershocks.
Iran is planning a second violation of a 2015 nuclear agreement, this time exceeding limits for uranium enrichment.
In sports, the U.S. captured the Women's World Cup, knocking off the Netherlands 2-0. It's their second straight title, fourth overall.
And how budget hawks on Capitol Hill have gone silent over recent debt and deficits.
The Freedom Caucus members seem to be as guilty of it as anybody else, you know. They also want to have spending on different things. And, you know, there's been a movement in Congress that you probably noticed in the last couple of years. Some people want to bring back the earmarks.
James Varney at the Washington Times on why fiscal conservatives have lost their voices. He's here in about 25 minutes. There are fears of more earthquakes and aftershocks in a large and sparsely populated area of Southern California. A magnitude 6.4 quake struck Thursday with a much more powerful one that hit Friday night. The U.S. Geological Survey says the power and close placement of the two quakes means a lot more aftershocks. Meanwhile, officials have begun assessing damage to roads, buildings, and pipelines in an area between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. Rock slides have closed roads. Water has to be trucked in. Luis Martinez lives in hard-hit Ridgecrest.
We have earthquakes here all the time, but it's not like big, you know. This was like huge. This is nothing that we are used to or anything like that.
Governor Gavin Newsom has asked President Trump for emergency aid, anticipating further damage. In the community of Trona, population 2,000, there are fallen chimneys and broken windows. Eric Cartmell's house moved about 8 inches off its foundation, so the house has been red-tagged as unlivable. He and his family are living in their yard. U.S. officials are pushing back hard against criticism of conditions at migrant detention facilities along the southern border. An internal watchdog for the Department of Homeland Security said in a report last week that conditions at Border Patrol stations in South Texas are so dire that some detained migrants have been held in standing room only cells for days on end. Democratic members of Congress who toured facilities last week claim women have been told by border agents to drink water from a toilet. Texas Republican Congressman Will Hurd was on NBC's Meet the Press.
Border Patrol is not, they weren't trained in order to handle children like this. They weren't trained for the medical issues that they're seeing. They were trained to be in between our ports of entry, right, and grab people and apprehend people that are coming into our country illegally.
Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan says over 6 months, the agency has now increased medical providers at border facilities from 20 to 200. Sent pediatricians to them for the first time, and built additional temporary facilities for families. While reports of children being detained in crowded Border Patrol stations, widely criticized as dirty and unsafe, have sparked a national outcry, several facilities run by immigration authorities that are intended for children are not being fully used for that purpose. Why not? Alicia Caldwell, immigration reporter at the Wall Street Journal, has been looking into it. Alicia, what have you seen?
Well, there's two family detention centers in Texas that were opened under the Obama administration, and one in Dilley, Texas, still has families. It's on average about half full, maybe a little over half full in its capacity of about 2,400. The other in Carn City, Texas, is not housing any families right now. That facility is now housing single adults. So it's a jail, it's an actual immigration jail that was built for adults and then converted for families. So it's outfitted with children's furniture and, you know, living areas are nicknamed things like forests and such, and it's a very sort of family-friendly or child-friendly facility, but currently has none, as the administration has been having only single women in there since the beginning of April, and will until probably the end of July at least, I am told by Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Wow. So what's happening? Is this evidence of just Border Patrol being overwhelmed with people and paperwork, or is this incompetence? What's happening?
Well, it's a combination of a lot of different things, not the least of which is that you have three different agencies at play. The Border Patrol arrests or apprehends and takes into custody people at the border, and then they're done after these immigrants are processed. And families can either be released or sent off to ICE, and then children have to be sent off to the Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Refugee Resettlement, unaccompanied children, that is. And those are wholly separate agencies. DHS has CBP and ICE under its umbrella, but ORR is under the HHS umbrella. They are not law enforcement, so they're a separate entity. ICE can't detain children unless they're with their parents, and then they can only hold them for 20 days. So ICE has said, in terms of transporting families to this facility in Dilley, it's several hundred miles from the busiest border crossings in the Rio Grande Valley and El Paso. And because of capacity issues and other time constraints and other financial issues, they can't continue to bus people. They only have about a day's worth of bed space, they say. So it's no longer practical to take folks there because they're only allowed to stay for 20 days. In terms of Carnes, again, ICE made the decision to convert it at least temporarily back to a single adult facility. So you've got these two places that are intended to have some children, but not the children who are staying with the Border Patrol. So it becomes a very complicated mess of bureaucracy to a significant degree.
We're speaking with Alicia Caldwell, immigration reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called, As Border Crisis Worsens, a Detention Center Designed for Children Has None. This newly approved money from Congress that President Trump has signed as well, does that help things here?
It's intended to help both with the Border Patrol and ICE. I don't know all of the nuance of the spending package. It will, I am told, by Health and Human Services, help that agency. They're soon to open, or just have opened, rather, a shelter operation nearby in Carrizo Springs, Texas, which is about 40 miles north of the border, or excuse me, east of the border, near Eagle Pass. That will house unaccompanied teenage immigrants, boys and girls 13 to 17. So that'll ease some of the crowding at Border Patrol stations, because in theory they'll be able to get kids of that age group into that facility, as well as other, facilities around the country that HHS has. But it's still slow going. Border Patrol says they're working on getting kids out of their custody faster, handing them off to HHS. But in the interim, again, you have this sort of bureaucratic morass that has converged, and the result is a little bit of what we're seeing.
Thanks, Alicia. Alicia Caldwell, immigration reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
This human resources professional is a rock star thanks to Kronos. And this is her hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're engaging all the best people.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Thanks for being with us. Iran has announced it's taking steps to increase uranium enrichment that would break limits set in a 2015 nuclear agreement by today. Enriching uranium above the 3.67% allowed would bring Iran a small step closer to having material that could be used in an atomic weapon. Weapons-grade uranium is 90% enriched. That would be the second violation of terms set in the deal. Yesterday's move is the end of a 60-day deadline Iran issued in May for European nations to do more to offset the economic impact of U.S. sanctions. Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn reacted on the TV show Sunday Morning Futures on Fox News.
They want to go back to enriching uranium. They want to be working to a nuclear weapon, and they want to go back to spreading terror. They are the largest state sponsor of terrorism.
Iran said it had sent a letter to the European Union issuing another two-month deadline to take further action. An EU spokeswoman said the bloc would discuss next steps with Russia and China, the other participants in the nuclear deal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Puerto residents are cleaning up from two of the biggest earthquakes to rattle California in decades. A scientist warned they should serve as a wake-up call to be ready when the long-dreaded big one strikes. Kern County Fire Battalion Chief Dionisio Mitchell says residents need to be prepared.
There's a lot of uncertainty. I know that people are on edge. We don't exactly, know when is the next one going to happen.
The earthquakes Thursday and Friday buckled highways and ruptured gas lines, but no one was killed or seriously injured. Authorities attributed that to the remote desert location. The Justice Department is seeking a new legal team in its efforts to add a citizenship question on the 2020 census after the Supreme Court temporarily blocked its inclusion. James Burnham, the current Deputy Attorney General in the DOJ's Civil Division and former White House lawyer, will no longer be heading the department. Efforts in the census case. The change comes days after the department vowed to continue finding a legal path forward to include a citizenship question on the 2020 census. President Trump said last week he was very seriously considering an executive order to get the question on the form. The forms have already begun to print without the question. A federal grand jury in New York is investigating whether top GOP fundraiser Elliot Broidy used his position on President Trump's inaugural committee to drum up foreign business deals. Prosecutors recently issued a subpoena seeking records from the committee on 20 individuals and businesses connected to Broidy, his investment and defense firms, and foreign leaders he pursued deals with. The U.S. won its record fourth Women's World Cup title and second in a row, beating the Netherlands 2-0 in France when Megan Rapinoe converted a tie-breaking penalty kick in the second half. Rose Lavelle added a goal to seal it. Rapinoe spoke with ESPN after the win.
I mean, we just want to be successful. We want to win everything. We're competitive on and off the field.
The U.S. Men weren't as successful, falling to Mexico 1-0 in Chicago in the CONCACAF Gold Cup final last night.
All right. How about the women? I mean, just
it was
amazing.
A lot of fun to watch that tournament.
That Rose Lavelle, I love her.
You know, if you saw her in the street, would you think she's a world-class athlete?
Right.
She just looks like
looks like a string bean,
yeah.
Right? But it's just, she's savage. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. We've had the One Ring phone scam, the fake IRS phone calls, the scam that tricks you into thinking your Social Security number has been connected to some car in Texas involved with running drugs across the border, right? And now we have the Can You Do Me a Favor scam. It's a story by Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press. Susan, what are we seeing?
Well, you know, it sounds kind of goofy, but what the scammers are doing is they're doing a lot of social engineering, and they are figuring out who's your boss. So you might get an email from someone who looks just right name as your boss. It might come from a Gmail account. It might not come from your corporate account. So you need to look at where it comes from. But the boss might say something as simple as, I'm really busy. I need your help right now. Are you available? We've gotten some of these at our workplace as it is. And I spoke with a 31-year-old woman out of state here who said she just started a job in April. She was from Miami, and she didn't think twice when she got an email from her boss asking for help. Her boss was on vacation, but he said he was going to be working remote. Here again, they may get some of this from Facebook. They may know it's spring break. You don't know, but they do. They do sound plausible. They do sound like, yes, the boss is on vacation. So she wasn't taken aback when he said he needed $400 or $500 gift cards. This was going to be for a bonus for workers or some kind of prizes. So she went out and bought these, and of course he's having her read the numbers on the back. She bought two Best Buy gift cards and two Target gift cards. But then at some point she caught herself and started thinking, why is the boss asking for even more gift cards? Well, of course, she's already out $2,000 by the time she figures this out,
right?
Because the crook's got the codes on the back of the gift cards. Some people do catch it. I heard from one person locally who had bought the gift cards, but somehow figured it out and then was trying to sell off some of the gift cards to people who used them. Some of them use the Steam gift cards. Some of them use the iPhone gift cards. So that person was out the money, but you know, was looking for friends or whatever who would buy the cards from her to kind of help her not lose money on this deal.
So the first woman from out of state, she wound up, I guess, engaging the scammer in emails, right? She emailed back and said, here are the codes, basically, and they drained them.
Right, right. Once you acknowledge the email, you know, and say, okay, I'm not busy, what do you need? That's when they will ask you for the gift card. So the best thing to do is obviously reach out to your boss by his email or her email and say, hey, do you really need me? Did you just email me about something? What can I do? Instead of hitting respond. You know, so many of us are so rushed. We're doing about 3 million things. People are answering their emails while they're in their car, driving to work, you know, driving to do something, driving an errand. So they know we're busy, so they know how to target us, you know. But, you know, once you respond, that's when you do get into some trouble.
Thanks, Susan. Susan Tompour, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Black Friday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/small business.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, July 8th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. California assesses quake damage. Iran to violate a second term of a nuke agreement. Wealthy financier Jeffrey Epstein due in court today on sex trafficking charges. Disney star Cameron Boyce, known for roles on Jesse and the Descendants franchise, has died at age 20 of a seizure. Kohl's now accepting Amazon returns at its 1,100 stores nationwide. New York City parade Wednesday for the U.S. Women World Cup champs. And how police in New York handled a shoplifter. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell's Black Friday in July is back. Save big on business computers with Intel Core processors, plus servers and electronics. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/small business. The endless river of red ink forecast for federal spending would lead one to believe budget hawks are an endangered species these days, but they're still out there toiling to draw attention to a problem that is getting worse, yet also getting almost no attention among the policymakers who could change things. New numbers show deficits are poised to soar past $1 trillion a year soon and remain there for the foreseeable future. Is anybody doing anything? We're joined now by James Varney, reporter at the Washington Times. Jim, what's happening here?
Well, the problem is that what's being said is really coming from the sidelines, and you don't see anybody in Washington in any position of authority, any of the lawmakers in either Congress or the administration, talking about it. I mean, the CBO came out and said that annual deficits are now going to top $1 trillion a year, which is just an astonishing number, and nobody seems to care.
That's unbelievable. As you point out, President Trump does not mention this during his rallies or speeches, and his opponents, or perhaps those in the Democratic presidential race, don't say anything either. Why is this?
Well, I think that part of the problem, and Bob Bixby at the Concord Coalition and Andrew Andrzejewski at Open the Books pointed this out in the story, which is that there is no political pain being paid by anybody. So it seems as if we're on this kind of cruise control. And you and I know, Gordon, as all your listeners do, that if we were running deficits like this, we'd be ruined. So it would seem that somebody would have to sort of come to their senses. But because there hasn't been really any penalty paid for it so far, there doesn't seem to be any reason for the elected officials to talk about reining it in.
Are you talking about political penalty, like voting people out of office?
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's not going to happen, right? I mean,
no, it certainly doesn't seem to be happening. And like you just pointed out, and the story makes clear that Trump doesn't mention it. The Republicans want to spend money on defense. The Democrats, the candidates, seem to be in a giveaway sweepstakes, if you listen to them at the debates last week. And, you know, as we had Chris Edwards at the Cato Institute pointed out, that, you know, nobody seems to look at this as a problem that needs to be addressed. The Republican philosophy seems to have changed. The party as a whole doesn't seem to be interested in any kind of fiscal responsibility. And the Democrats, as you and I have just talked about, want to spend trillions on everything.
I'm speaking with Jim Varney, reporter at the Washington Times. He's got a fascinating piece entitled War on Math: Budget Hawks Outraged That There Isn't More Outrage Over Deficit. Since this type of thing is intangible, maybe to a lot of people, it's not one that leads to intense debates like maybe immigration or Medicare for All. But explain the trickle down here and why this can be so problematic, since it's not something we necessarily feel in our everyday lives.
Right. Well, I think that the biggest issue will come if interest rates were to rise. Right now, as we just spoke about, there doesn't seem to be any pain. But if we get to a point where the interest rates rise, we're going to be looking at a situation in which every dollar that the federal government has is going to be going to entitlements and servicing the debt. And so the amount of money that will be available for all the other things that we seem to expect government to do, from fixing the roads to running the schools, won't be there. And I don't really know how you deal with that, you know. I mean, we all looked and saw, and it just came up that in Vermont, where they tried to do a Medicare for All, which is something that we hear the candidates on the Democratic side talking about now, they tried to do that, and the tax increases that were necessary to sustain it, just the people were like, no way, you know. And the Democratic governor there said, look, we can't do this. The people won't stand for it. So I think that this point in time, and like you just said, it hasn't come yet, you know. It doesn't seem like the everyday person has felt it. But at some point in time, it's going to have to come due. We're looking at a point where the Social Security, that fund's being depleted. That date has stayed pretty steady in the late 2020s, early 2030s. You know, so let's say a decade from now. And maybe we'll just fix it then. You know, somebody pointed out to me when I was talking to them about this that it's almost like a healthy person going to the doctor and the doctor saying, look, you really got to quit smoking. You got to stop overeating. The guy's like, what are you talking about? I'm fine. So he doesn't do anything. And, of course, years later, pays a severe price.
Freedom Caucus, not even weighing in much
nope.
on this?
Nope. In fact, the Cato Institute of Downsizing Government has got a piece just on that. About how the Freedom Caucus members seem to be as guilty of it as anybody else. You know, they also want to have spending on different things. And, you know, there's been a movement in Congress that you probably noticed in the last couple of years. Some people want to bring back the earmarks. I mean, so far they've been able to beat that back. But, you know, if that were to happen, then sure, once again, you would see everybody in Congress trying to get money to all their pet projects. And that would be no break at all on spending.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Varney, reporter at the Washington Times. Debt, by the way, the accumulation of budget deficits, will set a record in the 2030s, a record last set following World War II. It's 19 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it should go without saying that bad behavior on an airline flight can be costly, and one man has now learned that lesson the hard way. A man whose behavior on a Hawaiian Airlines flight to South Korea forced it to return to Honolulu has been ordered to pay the air carrier more than $172,000 and spend 6 months in jail. Prosecutors say the 48-year-old South Korean man drank a bottle bottle of whiskey before the flight and later bothered a child seated next to him. He then lunged at a flight attendant after the employee confronted him about his behavior. U.S. service members on board helped restrain the man as the flight turned around. The huge fine was ordered to pay Hawaiian Airlines the cost of returning the flight and accommodating passengers waiting for the plane in South Korea.
Oh, man.
I often wonder about this. I wonder about people, because you see this a lot, people who are go to the airport and they're waiting. They're like, yeah, let's go to the bar and drink a lot before we get on the plane. To me, the last place you'd want to be if you're drunk is on a plane. You know, and I don't know, this guy might have had some other motivations and sound like might have had a problem otherwise, but in general, that's the last place to me I'd ever want to be inebriated is on a plane.
Right.
Strapped in a seat.
Right. We're going to get like a little buzz going, perhaps, because you think it's going to help you sleep or something like that.
Right.
I could see.
The bottle of whiskey may have been excessive.
$172,000.
Yes, and that too, which will be paying off, you know, probably for a very, very long time.
Man, it's lucky you didn't get in trouble with the child. Who knows what's going to happen with that too, right?
Right. It may not be over. And a follow-up to a story we discussed, Gordon, before the 4th of July holiday. You'll remember the viral video of a young woman who appeared to open up and lick the top of a half-gallon container of Bluebell ice cream at a Walmart store in Lufkin, Texas, before putting it back in the freezer. That 9-second clip has now been viewed over 12 million times since being posted on Twitter. Good news, authorities have tracked down the Lufkin Licker, as she's being called by some. The suspect is a juvenile, so her name is not being released, and the matter will now be turned over to the state's Juvenile Justice Department. But despite the case now seemingly being closed, another Walmart in Texas isn't taking chances. One of the superstore's locations in Corpus Christi playfully prepared for the worst, posting a picture of a staffer tasked with guarding their freezer full of Bluebell with a water gun.
Ah, very clever.
Not going to let this happen again.
I don't quite do this at home.
Yeah.
But I do sometimes eat directly from the carton instead of putting the ice cream in a container itself.
Right. Wait, you don't do this at home?
Well,
do you do it if you don't do it at home?
I'm saying I don't actually lick the ice cream.
Oh, I see.
In a similar realm, yeah. I will eat directly from the cart with a spoon.
I was going to say, we need to follow you around with a water gun.
Right. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Not a big summer guy. Too hot. Not a big winter guy either. Too cold. My favorite season? Safety season. Because it's every season, 24/7, 365. For all things safety, I trust Grainger. Grainger's safety experts have the safety solutions and expertise to help keep your facility safe and your people safer all year long. Seasons may change, but Grainger's always got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by for all things safety. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppe's, President and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for spending time with us. What's your exercise routine? Workouts in the morning or at night? A new report says the time of day may be the key to a successful weight loss. Researchers from the Warren Alpert Medical School of Brown University recently conducted a study published in the journal Obesity to determine the time of day to work out for the best weight loss. To do so, they examined 375 adults who have maintained weight loss and who engage in moderate to vigorous, intense physical activity. Participants said the morning was the most common time for exercise. The researcher said consistent exercise was associated with higher physical activity levels, regardless of whether people exercise consistently during the morning, afternoon, or evening. One of the authors of the study said it'll be important to determine whether there is a specific time of day that is more advantageous for individuals who have initial low physical activity levels to develop a physical activity habit. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
What the naval admiral set to become his service's top officer on August 1st says he will instead retire. The downfall of Admiral William Moran was prompted by what Navy Secretary Richard Spencer called poor judgment regarding a professional relationship. The sudden move by Moran may add to the perception of turmoil in the Pentagon's senior ranks. It comes after Pat Shanahan abruptly withdrew from consideration to be defense secretary after leading the Pentagon for 6 months. 11 years after letting Jeffrey Epstein off lightly with a once-secret plea deal, the federal government is taking another run at putting the wealthy sex offender behind bars. Epstein was arrested over the weekend on new sex trafficking charges and is expected to make his first court appearance in New York City today. Iran's foreign ministry says it remains open to diplomacy to save its 2015 nuclear deal with world powers, but has no hope in the international community as the Islamic Republic broke the limit the agreement put on its enrichment of uranium. A spokesman called the seizure of an Iranian supertanker piracy. People and pets are being warned to stay out of the water along the entire Mississippi Gulf Coast as toxic bacteria continue spreading eastward. The Mississippi Department of Environmental Quality started closing some beaches June 22nd and yesterday closed the last two sections near the Alabama line. The agency has warned that polluted Midwest floodwaters have fed an outbreak of blue-green algae, which can cause rashes, diarrhea, and vomiting. It's spreading as water from the Mississippi River pours into the Gulf of Mexico.
This is Mr. Beck.
We could use someone like you on my world.
Your world?
Beck is from Earth, just not ours.
A snap to our hole in our dimension.
You're saying there's a multiverse?
We have a job to do, and you're coming with us.
The latest installment in the Spider-Man franchise has shaken off any talk of moviegoers getting tired of reboots of franchise titles to capture the current box office race. Spider-Man Far From Home took in an estimated $93.6 million over the weekend to win the top spot. Since its opening Tuesday, the movie has raked in $185 million. Far From Home is the first Marvel movie since Avengers Endgame, finishing second in the weekend box office battle. Toy Story 4 followed by Yesterday, Annabelle Comes Home, and Aladdin.
My daughter saw Toy Story 4 over the weekend.
Did she cry?
She was very unhappy with the ending.
Okay.
Very unhappy with the ending. And she started to tell me in the car when I picked her up, and she sort of hesitated, worrying about a spoiler. I'm like, don't worry, I'm not seeing Toy Story 4. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for joining us. When a woman was accused of shoplifting at a Whole Foods in New York City on July 4th, supermarket security officers detained her while they called police. But instead of arresting the woman, Fox News says the three police officers paid for the food she allegedly slipped into her shopping bag. Officers with the New York Police Department were already inside the Whole Foods location in the process of buying something for lunch. When they noticed the commotion, the officers assessed the situation and saw fit to help the woman out. Their deed, as well as the woman breaking into tears, was captured in a photo shot by a customer who described himself as heartened by the unexpected gesture. NYPD Chief Terrence Monahan later took the opportunity to praise his men, saying they're kind-hearted cops who quietly do good deeds for New Yorkers in need. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.